Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Pressure is mounting on the country's acute hospitals as the surge in flu cases continued, with over 1,000 people now hospitalised and visitor restrictions in place at a number of hospitals. Now, for more on this, we're joined by Clare-based GP Máire Finn and Dr Alan Watts, consultant in emergency medicine at University Hospital Limerick and executive member of the Irish Association of Emergency Medicine. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Colin.
Alan, I'll come to you first. What kind of impact is this surge having on emergency departments, and what's the situation like in Limerick, where you are this morning?
Yes, well, as has been reported, the increase in attendances to emergency departments around the country is significant. In UHL, in the last 10 days of the year, we have seen a 32% increase in attendances, and nationally, we estimate that there has been an increase of about 25% in attendances. The vast majority of those attendances are due to respiratory-type symptoms.
All right. So is it flu and RSV would be the main reasons for presentation, is it?
Exactly. And I think it's important to highlight that even though the number of cases nationally has increased significantly, and the number of hospitalizations as a consequence of the flu have more than doubled or nearly doubled, the vast number of patients who are diagnosed with the flu do not require hospitalizations. So only about 20 to 25% of patients who have the flu or are diagnosed with the flu end up requiring hospitalization.
And the head of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester, said yesterday the number of patients with flu are being treated in ICU. That's, I think, over 1,000 people obviously hospitalised, but 62 of them in ICU.
That's correct. And I think that that's a reflection of the fact that maybe people don't appreciate the fact that flu can become life-threatening. So we have two patients in critical care in UHL. But as you say, Mr. Gloucester referred to the fact that there are approximately 62 across intensive cares around the country.
And has capacity improved? I mean, there was an increase in intensive care capacity during the COVID era. Has that been maintained? And to what degree is capacity in hospitals an issue?
Well, capacity remains an issue, especially in respect to isolation areas. So when you have virus, respiratory viruses like the flu, RSV, COVID, it's critical that hospitals have access to single room or isolation spaces. And so in that regard, so in general, across the country, there are capacity issues. Certainly the capacity issues in UHL have been well documented. And so in broad terms, there are capacity issues, but there are specific issues related to single room and isolation spaces, which are even more important. And those really have to be prioritized and expedited in order to mitigate the risk.
All right. Is COVID still an issue?
No, not really. COVID has really very much plateaued, and we're not seeing a lot of COVID, no.
Okay. We're also joined by Clare-based GP Máire Finn. Good morning, Máire.
Good morning.
The majority of people will, of course, as Alan was saying there, be able to fight the flu at home. What have GPs been experiencing in their surgeries in terms of people presenting there or calling in about their symptoms?
So, like Alan said, 20% of people are possibly hospitalised or attend A&E with flu, but that's actually probably even too big a number, because there's a large percentage that don't present even to GPs. Then we would see and deal with a huge number, and have been since early December. We saw a rise in RSV and flu in the early part of December, and the week before Christmas we definitely saw an increase. And what you'll see then is the complications of flu present, and this is when they attend hospital, particularly people who are immunocompromised or people who have underlying respiratory issues like COPD. So there's a huge number that have been presenting to us throughout December, particularly in the last week. The early part of this week, it was bedlam with flu, and particularly adult flu. Before Christmas, we saw more childhood RSV-type symptoms.
Right. And so what can you do for people? I mean, people who are caring for themselves at home, presumably the advice is fluids, you know, take paracetamol, stay in bed, get some rest and eat if you can.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The problem is that sometimes people will actually kind of develop the complications, particularly the more vulnerable. But people need to know when to worry, I suppose. And with children, to put it kind of fairly in a very basic way, if they have a temperature that they can't control, if they're lethargic, this is where we really worry about children when they get really tired, if their breathing is laboured, if they're not feeding well, if they have dry nappies, if they're small babies. These are the things we worry about. With adults in particular, you know, adults can cope with a temperature and fatigue and staying in bed. But what happens often is after a number of days, they don't get better, they get worse. And the respiratory complications that can happen, like bronchitis and pneumonia, start kicking in. And in that situation, they may not be able to cope at home anymore. And it's a very difficult line for people to call. And we would always say, you know, in doubt, always call us. But we're swamped as well, of course. But, you know, the priority is to try and kind of manage people. We'll manage certain people over the phone, and particularly when it's, you know, when there's something so infectious as flu, you don't want to be kind of bringing people into kind of a crowded waiting room as well. But it goes back to all that stuff that we were talking about during COVID, about hand washing, cough etiquette, stay home if you can. We're going to have a bit of a problem when the kids go back to school and people go back to their traditional jobs that might have been off for a couple of weeks. But if you can, stay home, because you do not want to put other people at risk. Right. And it's still not too late to vaccinate as well. That's the other really important thing to say.
So that's flu vaccine, the nasal spray available to, is it the under 17s and injections then for anyone over that, is it?
Exactly, yeah. And even though it takes a number of days for the vaccination to take effect, this is not going to go away until, you know, I would assume with the normal trajectory until the end of January anyway. And even if you do get flu symptoms when you've been vaccinated, the risk of hospitalisation is seriously reduced and the risk of ending up in ICU very seriously reduced. So it protects you. It's really important to say that.
Right. And not too late to get it in your estimation,
no.
Anyway.
Absolutely not, no.
Alan, presumably you'd echo that. I mean, people should present to hospital if they have a significant illness. What would you say the tipping point is for people to present at hospital if they are worried? People, for example, who may be caring for themselves alone at home, when should they present themselves?
Well, certainly I think if people have new shortness of breath, or if they're in respiratory distress or coughing up blood or have new difficulty breathing that's not usual for them, if they have chest pain, and as Dr. Finn said, if they've had the illness for a few days and have a chronic illness, so people with chronic respiratory disease, certainly COPD or asthma or cystic fibrosis, but those with chronic heart disease, liver disease and kidney failure, and those that are immunosuppressed would be at higher risk, which is why I would definitely echo what Dr. Finn said in relation to vaccination and the fact that it's not too late and it's available for free for a large number of groups, those over 60, those 2 to 17, like you said, patients that are pregnant and those living in nursing homes or long-term care facilities.
And for people who are, say, as I say, particularly people who may be trying to care for themselves at home, maybe somebody who's elderly, what should they be watching out for in terms of their ability to care for themselves, you know, to get themselves something to eat, to maybe provide themselves with liquids? Are you seeing people presenting with, who are in a weakened state as a result of malnutrition or dehydration at this time of the year?
Well, I suppose dehydration certainly would be at the higher end of the concern. And I think that that's really what has to be emphasized, is that people need to keep taking liquids in order to avoid dehydration, keep taking paracetamol and Nurofen. So paracetamol for temperature control, ibuprofen if they can take it for relief of symptoms like aches and pains. And just, you know, getting additional rest and sleep. Those are critical.
What about the impact on staff, Alan? You know, I've seen mask mandates, it's reported, are in place in some hospitals. But the vaccination levels among staff, the need to introduce mask mandates, is the fear there that staff will get sick and as a result, whatever capacity there is will be reduced?
Well, I think that, you know, there's obviously the concern that staff will become unwell. Certainly at UHL, the rate uptake of the flu vaccine is higher than it was for the 23-24 flu season, which is good news. But I think that the infection control guidance at this stage is to introduce masks, and that's what we have done here in UHL. And I know that that is the remit of each regional health authority to determine what each of their hospitals need. There are also visiting restrictions in place in UHL, and I know that that's being looked at in other hospitals as well in order to mitigate the risk.
Okay. Thanks to Alan Watts there, consultant in emergency medicine at University Hospital Limerick and executive member of the Irish Association for Emergency Medicine, and earlier GP Moira Finn, who is based in Clare. We're back in a minute. We're going to look at what's ahead in the political calendar here at home.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.